Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Dominic, how you doing, my little buddy?
Crudy, I'm great, man. One day closer to Friday on this holiday week. Very excited to be here. Lots to talk about again today, folks. Make sure you join us. We've got some good guests today.
And the finest of all producers has helicoptered in for the show. Fancy Brian, welcome to it, big guy.
Hey, guys. Hi.
Hey, the Cubs won yesterday, Brian, so you got that going for
you. Yeah, and I tuned in at that exact moment. That's when I thought I finished the job that I was finishing today.
All right. Welcome
back,
man.
Hey, we don't play the Cubs.
No, but you had announced it on the air at that point, and I was very excited that I'd tuned into that.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Hang the W. And we got Evan here in the world headquarters, lightly screening the calls. But you know, boys, I feel like this is the calm before the storm. The calm before the storm. Because tomorrow is Pat Cipollone Day. The White House counsel scheduled to give what? Videotaped testimony.
Recorded testimony to be played presumably maybe as soon as what? Next Tuesday?
Lordy, there's tapes. There's going to be tapes.
And I'm also hearing, I heard on MSNBC, I think it was Punchbowl News, I haven't seen corroborating information on this, but they are reporting that next Thursday, a week from today, that the J6 will do their final primetime hearing as well. But so we'll stand by for that.
Primetime. Well, you know, we'll play them all out. Gavel to gavel coverage. That's what we promise you here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. All things working out. Fancy Brian, he'll be gone next week, going to Buffalo, big family reunion.
Long Island, New York City.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I haven't seen these people in a long time.
Well, we will miss you, man. Travel safe.
Compared to Buffalo, I think that's an upgrade.
I like the wings. I'm weighing everything against how much I like the wings. That's pretty much it.
Well, boys, let's hop into the big testimony that's going to happen tomorrow. You'll still be here tomorrow, right? Right, guys?
In the area, yeah.
tomorrow's Friday, right? Yeah, I'll be here. Come on. It's the last day of the week. I can get one more day out.
All four. three for me. Pat Cipollone. Anyways, back to the big expected testimony of Pat Cipollone. I want to start today, Dom, with an opinion piece. Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post. Former White House counsel Pat Cipollone has been the missing man at the hearings for the House Select Committee investigating the J6 insurrection, although present at the most critical moments in the coup attempt. Until now, he has refused to testify formally. That will now change with his agreement to give a videotaped, transcribed interview. Well, not under oath. Why not? Why not under oath?
That's a great question. That's the first I've heard of this from this piece from Rubin. Why not under oath? I mean, you are an attorney, right? You were testifying to Congress.
Well, while not under oath, lying to Congress is still a crime, so he has every reason to stick to the truth. Does he? I'd like to see his hand on a Bible. You know, whether he believes it or not, I'd still like to see
fewer
it.
And fewer do, thank goodness.
That's yet more bad news for defeated former President Donald Trump. Cipollone has appeared for an informal interview with the panel, but he resisted speaking beyond a limited set of topics with claims of executive privilege. The J6 committee finally gave up friendly negotiations and sent out a subpoena last week. Yeah, man, playing a little hardball. Faced with the prospect of criminal contempt and political sanction, potential sanctions from the bar. Cipollone, a working lawyer. Well, he agreed to at least show up. At least show up. Man, that's a low bar.
Hey, man, that's half the battle.
Dominic, it seems his initial claims of privilege have fallen by the wayside. President Biden has waived executive privilege, and others have already testified about communications with Trump, including former White House counsel Eric Hirschman. You know, he's the one that recommends you get a good effing lawyer, defense attorney. Yeah. Former Justice Department officials and Cassidy Hutchinson, a top aide to former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Plus, Cipollone has no attorney-client privilege with Trump. His client was the U.S. government, a concept Trump never could grasp, right? White House counsel, no doubt. Thought it was his counsel.
Anybody around Trump who's an attorney, Trump thinks is his attorney.
Well, Dom, you know, Jennifer Rubin has prepared some fine questions. I wish we were in the J6 panel. I'd have a few, but we'll get there in a moment. As for the possibility that Cipollone takes the Fifth, constitutional scholar Lawrence Tribe tells me Cipollone might try to invoke his Fifth Amendment privilege against compelled self-incrimination, but it doesn't look like he was personally involved in anything criminal, so that privilege would not be applicable. Right?
Exactly, right. Crudy, I'll jump in here. Cipollone apparently lacks the nerve of 25-year-old Hutchinson, given that he will avoid the exposure that comes with public testimony. But his interview will be videotaped and therefore will be used in future hearings. His testimony also can be used by the committee and prosecutors to, among other things, cross-examine him if he testifies later in front of the committee or a grand jury. His testimony can also be cited in the committee's final report. Cipollone may have answers to a slew of questions to either corroborate other testimony or provide new evidence only he may have witnessed. For example, a few bullet points here, Crudy. Let's do one by one. I'll do one, then you do one. Okay. I'll start out.
I'll play along.
All right. Here are some questions that Jennifer Rubin from The Washington Post contemplates asking Mr. Cipollone. How did John Eastman, the chief architect of the coup plot, end up providing legal advice to Trump? No doubt. I mean, that's like number one. I mean, when I first saw this guy coming around and making, I thought to myself, who's this guy? And same with Mike Lindell. I mean, what a circus. Who are these people and why are they in front of a mic talking to me?
Lindell is presumably a donor, and I would speculate just rampantly, Dom, the connection between Eastman is, of course, the fact that he clerked for Clarence Thomas.
Oh, Mr. Ginny Thomas, yes.
Yes, Ginny's husband, Clarence. That is the, you know, the reason he's in prominent circles, I would suspect. Here's the next one. Did Eastman or Meadows ever concede there was no voter fraud? Did Trump?
I thought
Eastman kind of did in an email. It was less than a complete concession. But, you know, since we're breaking a few laws, let's break a few more. That was more the tone.
Crudy, others have testified that you described the letter written by Jeffrey Clark, the Justice Department official, whom Trump wanted to appoint as acting attorney general, declaring the election as fraudulent, as a murder-suicide pact, quote-unquote. What did you mean by that? Did Trump indicate he understood it was illegal?
Here's another one. Why did Trump want to replace acting attorney general Jeffrey Rosen? Why did Rosen refuse to sign Clark's letter? Why indeed? Those are all excellent questions, Tom.
Another, what do you know about Trump's call to election officials in Georgia and other states? Did Trump understand his conduct was illegal?
Sort of as an aside to that point, you see that Lindsey Graham is now being subpoenaed by the Fulton County District Attorney. And I do declare Lindsey doesn't want to answer these subpoenas. Now, he's on the, Senate Judiciary Committee. He's a lawyer. He's, going to ignore the subpoena process? Like, oh, subpoenas. Their claim is something about, I'm part of the legislative branch and, you're part of the state executive branch. So I forget what they call that. I would call it hogwash.
Well, of course. I mean, essentially, they're saying that he's hiding behind
separation of the branches.
He's saying that he's got a right to inquire as being, you know, part of the legislative branch to yada yada yada. It's basically
but
what
he's
doing his
Georgia.
Job. He's doing his job. That's why I was just doing my job. I was just following orders.
Shares a border with Georgia. That's his claim to fame. I'm not
clear
why. The day
Richard Nixon failed to answer that subpoena is the day that he was subject to impeachment because he took the power from Congress over the impeachment process away from Congress, and he became the judge and jury.
And
here's a quick quote.
Judge and jury.
Let me digress a moment on this point from the Rubin piece from CNN. Graham's legal team stated that as the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Graham was, quote, well within his rights to discuss with state officials the processes and procedures around administering elections.
Around finding more votes for the former? I mean, really, it wasn't his state.
That's just, you know, he's a giver. He's just going above and beyond the job description, man.
A contiguous state with South Carolina. You know, it's close. It's close, like. Hand grenades and horseshoes, right? A little bit more here, Dom. What do you know about I think you read this one. What do you know about Trump's calls to election officials in Georgia and other states? And did Trump understand this conduct was illegal? And here's another one, because I feel like I redundantly said yours. Did you advise Trump to concede the election? That's a great question. He never conceded. What conversations did he have with Vice President Mike Pence and Pence's lawyers? Yes.
What did you try to remove from Trump's January 6th speech? Why were those changes rejected? And if so, who rejected them?
I got to think it was Ivanka. I'm just saying that. I'm just randomly speculating at this point. I can't wait for the video of the testimony of Pat Cipollone. And also, later in this big show, Dom, we got a doctorate, Dr. Louis Friedland, coming in studio here with me in Madison. He's in the hizzy. He's in the lobby. He'll be in studio soon. But your calls, they could be next. The Thursday edition of the Devils After Its radio show. I'm eagerly awaiting the Cipollone testimony coming soon. Hopefully on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
5J6 on Tuesday. More Devils next.
If you're not turned on to politics, politics will turn on you.
The suspense is terrible. He's going to go this time.
I hope it'll last.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
All I want to do is be able to watch.
Just aim higher.